Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. We've had a lot of fun with numbers, and we bring in number six, the birthday boy, former Titans punter Brett Kern, whose son just called in, and I was fooled on that. But
that's right.
Thanks to Bryce for calling in and wishing his dad a happy birthday.
Yeah, it's 15-year-olds and their cell phone, you know. You can sneak off to a room in the house and call the radio station and, you know, tell their dad happy birthday.
So, well, I was confused because I was like, should they be in school? But then I forgot about that it's President's Day, so I guess he has the day off.
Yeah, no school. So we'll they'll all come to the grocery store and, you know, we'll gear up for this next snowpocalypse coming, you know. So eggs, bread, you name it, milk.
Got it. You got to get that stuff. Got to get the essentials. But happy birthday, Brett.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So we're now in that, as we were texting earlier, the dog days of sports talk radio as we kind of have that period in between the Super Bowl and the draft, the combines coming up. But I know you've kind of been doing some research on, you know, free agency. And a lot of people are kind of looking at, all right, the Titans were big spenders last year. They were active in free agency. It didn't really work out. Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker have said, you know, we're going to build through the draft. That's the best way to do it. You look at teams that have had success, and they've kind of done that. And, you know, I feel like that's the path the Titans should go. But there are some positions that they certainly could address in free agency. And I look at a guy like Trey Smith as being one of those guys that they could bring in on the offensive line, but he's probably going to cost you like $20 million. So you've done a little research on this about kind of what happens when guys get that big contract.
Yeah, it's tough just because I think not everybody's built like a Derek or Saquon or some of these guys that, you know, once they receive contract and it's generational type money, right, they keep grinding. Because the grind in the NFL, it's mental, it's physical, it's emotional. And you know, when you get that big payday and you know that you're set, you know, generationally for yourself, for your kids, for their kids, right, you tend to kind of maybe not grind as much. And, you know, when you're getting paid, you know, maybe like a top five receiver, top 10 or top five running back, right, all of a sudden all it takes is just a little bit of slip in your production. And then now you're not of that value. Right. And so, you know, paying guys, I mean, you look at the Titans, right, between Snead, Woozier, Cushenberry, you know, 20% of the cap, they just divvied out the three guys and they were only to play in 21 out of the 51 games last season. Right. And that's tough. Right. You know, you compared it to, you know, somebody that comes in, you know, on a smaller deal, right? I was, you know, Kyle Van Noy, a 2-year deal. He got 12 and a half sacks, fourth in the league, right? A Gesicki, you know, 1 year, 3.5, and he's top 10 in catches. You know, even our old guy, Jonnu Smith, right? Fourth in receptions with 88 and 8 touchdowns. And he's only on a 2-year, like $8 million deal. Zach Ertz is on a 1-year, $5 million deal and finish top 10. You know, you look at depth pieces, you know, Derek Barnett, you know, down in Houston, somebody like that who's on a 1-year, $2 million deal. So you look at those kind of signings, it's not obviously generational money, but those guys are still trying to grind for the next one, right? And maybe the next contractor after that. And so, you know, you look at some of the smaller deals that came in, you know, Delanie Walker, Ben Jones, you know, I remember Kevin Mawai when I got here, it was that offensive line.
Yeah,
you know, Leroy Harris is a fourth round pick. How can you find your Michael Roos, right? Second round pick, 41st overall, 10-year career, 148 games, 148 starts, right? You never had to worry about him, right? You're Dave Stewart, your Big Country, yeah, your fourth round pick, Eugene Amato, your seventh round pick, right? And that offensive line, right? You know, you have four guys that were drafted here by the Titans. You bring in a piece like Kevin Mawai, right, who's a Hall of Famer. And then all of a sudden, now you're top, you know, five in the league rushing 3-4 years in a row, and CJ rushes for 2,000 yards, right? And so I think when you're in a situation the Titans are in, right, you have some holes, you know, some depth that you got to fill, right? Drafting becomes a huge priority. How do you go get your Amon-Ra, that was a fourth-round pick, your Puka Nacua, fifth-round pick? Then even after that, in your undrafted free agent guys, how do you go get a Reed Blankenship, right, out of MTSU, who's now a starting safety in the Super Bowl, right? And so, you know, if you look at, like, Philadelphia right now, they have a lot of pieces that are already there, right? So Milton Williams, right, he's behind Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, right? They have their front line. Josh Sweat, obviously he's probably going to hit free agency. You know, they have $24 million of cap space, right? But Milton, seventh round pick, right? He's going to go get paid, but you know that, hey, you know what? We can replace him through the draft. I think they actually signed, or they drafted somebody in sixth, seventh round last year, you know, kind of for that idea, knowing that this is going to happen. But in the Titans situation, you have a lot of holes. So now your drafting becomes really, really important, right? Whether you want to take the first pick or whether you want to trade, right? You try to go the Lions route, you know, in trading, obviously the whole Stafford, you know, Jared Goff trade, but you look at, you know, the Lions able to get Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, right? Those guys are obviously huge impact players. Even what the Titans did back in 2016 with the Rams, right? You know, you trade, you go get Jack Conklin, who's obviously still playing in the league. He actually might be a free agent this year. I'm not 100% sure. But then obviously now you get that extra, second round pick, and who do you get? Derrick Henry, right? And so, you know, your free agency, how can you get the Zach Bond all pro on a 1 year, $3.5 million deal? Right.
Right.
Cause all pro guys don't fall off trees. Like you look at the, let's see, there's six guys, that are all pro that are still on rookie deals. Right. And so you're not necessarily going to go out and find some guy, pay him a ton of money. They're a free agent for a reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's Kansas City. And, you know, they have $5.8 million of cap space. Like, how do you pay for Bolton? How do you pay for Smith? How do you pay for Justin Reed, Hollywood Brown? Like, those guys are free agents. You can't keep them all, right? So that's understandable that, you know what, hey, we're kind of backed up to this cap space. We can't sign these guys, right? Other times, you know, you got, like, you look at the wide receiver class coming out. Diggs, coming off a torn ACL, made $22 million, right? Amari Cooper, making $20 million. Keenan Allen, he was making $20 million in Chicago. He's about to be 33 years old. Chris Godwin, $20 million. Injuries. Brandon Cooks, $20 million, right? And so those guys are all going to be available, but why are they available? Well, probably mainly because of injury, and then also does their production match what they're going to make, right? You could say that about Cooper Kupp. You know, the last time he played a full season was 2021, right? And he's set to be a $30 million cap hit this year, and his contract doesn't expire until 2027. Right. So there's guys that they're free agents for a reason. You just have to navigate what that is and why. Right. And then everything that the Titans do from here on out, like it has to be that diamond in the rough type in order to get better faster. Right. And so it's tough because not every draft pick hits. Right. And not every free agency hits. Right. But I think with enough guys in the room, they're going to be able to kind of, you know, funnel it down into picking the right guys.
I'm with you 100%. By the way, how old are you today? 26?
I got 1 year left, and then I'm 40. I'm 39.
It's all downhill after that. I love what you've compiled. It's fascinating. And also, but look, I remember covering Reed Blankenship at MTSU, and to think that he would get to this level, I never thought he would. I thought he'd get cut day one of the Eagles. Shows you what I know. So in all this, it's truly better to be lucky than good when you're drafting these players or signing these free agents, because you just never know, right? I mean, you did not know Reed Blankenship would do what he's doing now in the National Football League. So the Eagles got lucky, and that's the thing. I think luck, Brett, has to play into a lot of this.
Well, I just think it depends on who's on your team as well, right? Like, I remember when I was in Denver, my rookie year, I walk in the locker room, and it's Champ Bailey, John Lynch, right? And then the next year, my second year, it was Brian Dawkins came in the locker room. Like, I mean, you're talking some guys that, you know, those are the guys that you're around in the locker room, right? And so, you know, you bring somebody in, and it depends on your coaches too, right? Who can, you know, when Reed goes to Philadelphia, like, who's the secondary coach that's teaching him the ins and outs of the defense that they're running, right? And you never know, too. I mean, sometimes there's guys that are like, they're pretty good in college, they're okay, and they get to the NFL and it clicks for them, right? They're in the right system, they're in the right place. They got older players that are really helping them out. They can learn quick, they can process quick. And then you got other guys that they're great in college, and all of a sudden they go to the NFL and it's like, whoa, this is fast, this is quick. I can't process it as quick as I thought I could. It's faster than college, right? And so sometimes, you know, when you get to the pros, and you're thinking, oh, that guy will never make it, that guy will, you know, you got a guy that's, you know, he might be a linebacker, and, you know, he plays linebacker for 3-4 years, and then, you know, playing on special teams, and bam, all of a sudden, you know, like a Zaire Franklin, right? And in Indy. I remember him. He was linebacker, small school, played special teams. Special teams was filling at linebacker. And then all of a sudden, now he's making, 12, $13 million a year as a linebacker, and he leads the league in tackles, right? So sometimes it might take time, right? They might play special teams for 2-3 years, and then bam, like here they are. They're playing. They get it. They're developed. They've seen the system for 2-3 years, and now they go out and play, and they roll.
Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter. And Brett, really good stuff. I mean, I it's funny when you were telling, when we were talking about the free agency stuff, I just could hear Floyd Reese's voice, when saying like, hey, go sign this guard in free agency. I can hear him going like, nah, I'll get it later. I'll get it later in the draft. So, that's just kind of how it feels.
Yeah. It's like, how do you get your Jarrell Casey in the third round, right? Jason McCourty was a sixth round pick, Cortland Finnegan, seventh round pick, right? They're there. It's just the hard part is, I think the success rate of the draft is so difficult, right? Like, how do you go out there and the Titans are in a position where, let's say you get seven picks, six, seven, eight, nine picks, right? Like you have to be clipping it, an 80% success rate of guys that can come in and make, impact. Cause it's clearly not proven to where, free agents come in. It's like, oh, we could fill all these holes if we spend $100 million or $200 million, whatever. Like, that's not safe, right? That's not something you can always guarantee on.
Well, what do you say to the guys that, the Chargers, I think, had three or four ex-Titans on their team that were starting today? I mean, guys that you had here that did you not give them time to develop, or did you see all you needed to see and move on? Now, don't put Malik Willis in there because I still think that's a good trade for the Titans, but other guys that were here and move on, it's kind of like, oh, man, why can't you do this here?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are up too, right? I think it's Elijah Molden, Christian Fulton, like those guys are up too. So, like, I'd be curious to see, like, do the Chargers bring him back? Do they go somewhere else? You look at Janu, like, Janu did well here, and then he went to New England. Obviously the production that he was producing didn't match what he was getting, right? So then he goes somewhere else, and now he's in Miami, and you're like, whoa, okay. You just had 88 catches, 8 touchdowns.
Right.
And you're fourth in the league in receptions. But, like, is that a part of the system, right? And so I think a lot of times it's just a matter of, as a player, being in the right place with the right system, the right coaches, maybe it's the right quarterback. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot that kind of needs to come together and mesh and flow. And, there's a lot. I mean, you could say, well, how come Janu didn't do this here, right? How come, I don't know. Like, was Janu, at the line chipping half the time, so he couldn't get out in routes? Like, I don't know. Miami, are they running a lot of quick game, right? You got Jalen Waddle you have to cover. You have Tyreek Hill you have to cover. So does that free up Janu? You know what I'm saying? There's so many questions that, you could sit here and you could talk on one or two players for your whole show for 2 hours and just figure out, why did he do it this year? Why couldn't he do it with the Titans,
Yeah, for sure. By the way, I was going to ask you about this. So last week on the George Plaster Show, which is on 94.9 The Fan, Steve Watterson was on, and he was telling – I know you know him for sure. He was telling a story that I don't know if you remember about when Cortland Finnegan filled up his entire office with packing peanuts, and Watterson got like the cleaning guy basically got it cleaned up before anybody got there, so everybody thought Cortland was telling a fib.
That's funny. I've heard some funny ones. I heard way back Coach Lowry took some dirty diapers from his kids when they were younger and put them in Coach Fisher's trunk in the middle of training camp. So there, trust me, there's, you can pull the spark plug, out of the rookie's car. And then that way you have to have the tow truck come and, all that. I mean, there's plenty of things to do prank wise, but I did hear about that one. I didn't see it, but I did hear about it. So I'm not going to confirm or deny if it was a fib. But, yes, I have heard about that.
Did you, when you were in the Pro Bowl, did you give out your room number? Isn't that a big no-no?
Because
they charge stuff to your room?
Well, yeah, but I think, I'm probably the last person, at the Pro Bowl. Like, there's a lot of guys there that were, making a lot more money and all that kind of stuff. And so maybe that should have been a good idea on my part to go find Ben Roethlisberger's room number.
Right.
Or somebody like that. So, that's definitely, you know, a no-no on the room number.
Oh, that's too funny. Brett, happy birthday. Thanks as always for doing this, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern, the birthday boy, joining us here on the program. Always appreciate his time. And I think he makes some really interesting points, and, you know, working with the GM as long as we did, you know, those are definitely some things that stand out about not overspending. I still like the idea of Trey Smith, but are you going to get the same Trey Smith that Kansas City has had?
What do we always say? Look, it's hard. And we said it all the time. It's hard to play tough when you sleep on silk sheets every night.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the guys for getting paid. I don't blame them at all. But if you're expecting the same kind of output once they've signed a massive contract, you're delusional. And I'll default back to Chris Johnson in 2011. He ran scared. He didn't care after he got his contract. And I'll argue that to his face.
Mm-hmm.
8, 9, and 10 were great years for him. Once he got paid, he was a shell of himself. So that's what happens.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonKennyHoundy.com. We'll have more here on Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Appreciate Brett Kern for joining us on his birthday. Always good. Did I see some news about our fair city there, JoJo?
Yes, the 2030 Special Olympics are coming to Nashville, according to a news release I just saw from Channel 5 a moment ago. Special Olympics Tennessee announces bid to host the 20. It announces the bid. So did they get the bid, or they announced the bid?
I think they're announcing the bid. Because okay. I know that
you're right.
They had reached out, and I wrote a letter of recommendation and these things, and so it's really cool. Justin Bradford, who's of course a friend of the show and was part of Penalty Box Radio for a long time covering the Predators, is now with the Special Olympics. We've done shows out at golf tournaments.
Yeah,
obviously a great organization. So they're bidding to get it.
I thought they already
in 2030
bidded on that a while ago. It shows you what I know, which is nothing. The bid is awarded. Nashville would welcome more than 4,000 athletes from across the country, compete over 17 sports, thousands of volunteers as well. It'll be the largest inclusive event ever held in the city of Nashville. It takes place, like I said, Adam Gurmek. This will be the first sporting event of its kind to be in our city. It'll take place in June of 2030. And you think about, oh, that's 5 years from now. 5 years ago was COVID.
Yeah, I know.
So time flies. Let's hope they get that. We've worked with some of these Special Olympics kids throughout the years and did the flag football, and they're just beautiful, wonderful. They have so much fun doing that. So hopefully we get it, man.
By the way, speaking of bids, I did see Mike Organ put this out there, and I think it was a report from the Sports Business Journal. But unfortunately, it's looking like Cleveland is going to get the next WNBA franchise, as Nashville had bid with the Summit to bring them in to start play in 2028. It looks like that could go to Cleveland. As the WNBA will expand to 13 teams this season with the addition of the Golden State Valkyries, and then to 15 in 2026 with the addition of teams in Toronto and Portland. I would say if all this is true, if Cleveland does get this bid, I don't think that Governor Haslam and his group will just go away. So I think the WNBA, you know, women's basketball, women's sports is on the rise. And so I have a feeling that, you know, this will happen eventually, if I just had to guess.
What's next? I mean, we've covered all of them, right? I mean, that's next big sporting thing. I mean, mm-hmm. league-wise, I mean, that would be the WNBA for us here in Nashville.
But yeah,
I wouldn't quit until they say,
no,
go away.
Yeah, no, I think you keep it up. Especially, like, shout out to Michaela Blakes from Vanderbilt putting up 55 points against Auburn, which is a Division I freshman record with 55 points. She put 53 up earlier in the year.
She beat her own record?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and now 50 – well, I don't know. I think the record was 54. But she put up 53. Alana Del Don had 54 points as a redshirt freshman in Delaware in 2010.
Here comes the boxing one the rest of the year. That's the only defense I could know in basketball. Like, you guard him and play a zone, or guard her and play a zone.
But shout out to Michaela Blakes from Vandy for 55 points in the 98-88 overtime victory over Auburn.
Wow.
Good. Yesterday. So our man Jake Lyman on the call had a fun one. Look, both the men's and women's Vanderbilt basketball team have just certainly been fun to watch this year and have had a turnaround. I watched the Vandy men take on Tennessee on Saturday. That was a really good game. Tennessee squeaked it out, but eked it out, I guess would be the right way to say it.
I wonder what Barnes told those guys at halftime, because Vandy was out playing there.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, Tennessee came out on a tear.
But my thing on real quick, is Vandy has to learn how to finish. I mean, they're playing great in the first half. They'll even start off the second half, and then things kind of get away from them, you know, towards the end of the game. I think a lot of that has to do with depth and size, which Mark Byington obviously will continue to work on. But, I mean, that's going to be the big thing, is just finishing.
Isn't that Vanderbilt's thing throughout the years?
Yeah.
Is finishing.
But they got – I mean, they at least got something to build on. I mean,
right.
You think about the last 5 years.
Oh.
And look, I liked Jerick Stackhouse, but the thing about the last 5 years, it just wasn't good.
There was talent there, too, which was something else, too. Ziegler. I love the fact that Ziegler's doing so well, because it shows you that basketball is still run by guards.
Oh, yeah.
You can have all the centers and forwards in the world.
That boy, good.
But
he's really good.
He's an All-American, hands down. No doubt.
Well, and what's funny is, and again, I say this not taking any accomplishment away from Vanderbilt when they beat them here, but the big story was they got Ziegler in foul trouble. You take him off the court, it's a game changer for Tennessee.
Absolutely it is.
Look, I think Tennessee's a good team, but they got to clean some stuff up before tournament time. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about an early exit again with Rick Barnes in that group. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion. I do want to hit something on the hockey side, because I want to ask you and everybody else a question about the Four Nations tournament, because I think we were all a little skeptical, and I think we've all been proven wrong, because Saturday night was pretty awesome. We will discuss that coming up next. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. America gets the win Saturday night against Canada on the ice. Freebird was blaring from this side of the country to the other. Very, very good. Did you guys see that video that I sent you of it was the dude getting ready? He's wearing the Team USA jersey.
Yeah, right.
He's got like a cigarette hanging out, and he goes, "This is America." And he's chugging a Miller Lite while playing Freebird.
That takes some talent.
It was good.
And smoking and playing. Yeah. I mean, it was awesome.
Like, if I was doing that, I feel like I'd swallow the cigarette.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Nothing good would come of it.
Bye, real quick. On Guitar World's list of greatest guitar solos, Freebird is number 3 all time. It doesn't say what number 1 is. But
really?
Yeah, number 3.
Stairway to Heaven, maybe?
I don't know. But isn't it the song you put on DJs back in the day and want to go to the bathroom and take a smoke break?
Yeah.
And put that on?
Freebird or Stairway. Ask Dagwood from 1029 The Buzz. They've had those for sure. But anyway, so USA defeats Canada 3-1 Saturday night. I heard Robbie talk about this morning. We've kind of talked about it. I was skeptical of this Four Nations tournament. I was like, I'm not going to care. Like, it's just, you're taking 2 weeks off. I mean, this replacing the All-Star game. They're trying to replicate the Olympics, like all this stuff. It's been awesome. I have really, really enjoyed it. You know, the first game, Canada-Sweden, goes to overtime. Like, I got into that. USA beats the breaks off Finland. That was fun. And then you had Finland and Sweden go into overtime Saturday during the day, and then Canada, USA, USA winning 3-1 Saturday night. It's just been a lot of fun. Coming up here in a little bit, at noon, Canada takes on Finland. And then tonight, USA, Sweden play. And so, I mean, it's been exciting to watch. Now, you know, for Preds fans, UC Saros did get benched. Kevin Lankinen played for Finland the other day against Sweden. So that's not good. But for overall just watching this thing, it's been entertaining.
All right, had we lost 6-1 and got our butt kicked, would you be saying differently about this?
No, because, like, I watched Canada-Sweden the first game, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of hooked.
Okay.
I'm into it now.
But the fact that we came, and I'd say we, because USA.
Yeah, you can say we.
Came out and just beat the snot out of them.
In Montreal.
Physically.
In Montreal.
Three fights in the first 9 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was something.
I love it, man.
And I mean, like, you have guys that are teammates, like in the NHL, but like when they're playing for their country, it's like no holds barred.
I think it's great, man.
So I think it's pretty cool. And there's some clinching scenarios too. So the USA will be in the final based on what they've done.
Is it double elimination or you just earn?
It's all points based. Okay. It's a round robin.
All right.
So Canada will clinch a berth in the Four Nations final with a win over Finland in regulation, or if they get an overtime or shootout win against Finland and any result of the U.S.-Sweden game other than a regulation win by Sweden.
Okay.
Finland will be in the final if it defeats Canada in regulation, or if it defeats Canada in overtime or a shootout and any result of U.S.-Sweden in other than a regulation win by Sweden. Sweden will clinch if it defeats the U.S. in regulation and the Canada-Finland game is decided in overtime or a shootout. So those are the scenarios. I think we all want Canada again. I mean, I think U.S.-Canada in the final.
So when does USA play again?
Tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Yep, so get it tonight. Everybody plays today. So you got a game coming up in a little over an hour, and then the U.S. plays tonight.
Okay. All right.
So should be fun. I mean, it's definitely been cool to this point. I'd like to see, you know, I was talking to some people about this. Next year's the Olympics. Just have the All-Star game go away. I think when they do this again, they need to figure out six nations makes the most sense. You could do a Europe team with, you know, Switzerland and Germany and stuff. I know you got to figure some other stuff out. I mean, there are some really good Russian players. And so, you know, figure that part out. But I think six teams makes the most sense with the four you got now and then some sort of Russian representation and then a European team that's kind of like the rest of Europe.
But so you're saying not put as many teams as possible.
No, I think six is a good number. I mean, you can't do like the Olympics where you have – but like the biggest knock on this was – you know, Leon Draisaitl, who's one of the best players in the world, isn't playing because Germany didn't have a team. Roman Josi's not playing because Switzerland doesn't have a team. You know, so you would have to figure out some sort of European team that could kind of be those guys.
Be
and then, like, Ovechkin's not playing, you know, because Russia doesn't have a team. And so there's just, like, Russia is a whole different subject right now. But I think from a hockey standpoint, like if you could figure that part out, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be even cooler than it already is.
That's your job for today.
My job?
Yeah, we'll add that to your 47 other things you do around here.
Once I probably have meetings.
Probably do that.
Probably have something.
Teams like meeting?
No. Chip from Mount Juliet said the WNBA wouldn't make it here. I disagree. I think it would. I mean, I think we're at a – I mean, I understand – the skepticism, but like I actually think if you did it right, especially at Bridgestone Arena, and I know they're going to do it right, you know, you have to understand, like, okay, let's make it kind of a stair-step plan of you're not going 17,000 for most games. Now, Caitlin Clark comes here, you probably would, but
look, girls basketball is you go down to MTSU, the Lady Raiders, they get 4,000 or 5,000 people a game. I mean, and sometimes there's 9,000 or 10,000 there, so it's popular. I mean, it is really popular in that culture. I think it would do fantastic here.
I think it'd be fine.
Fun. Because you don't like it, and that's the thing I said about soccer. I'm not a soccer guy, but if you love soccer, putting you down like soccer, is that to make me feel better?
No, but how much of it – see, I think you just made a really good point. A lot of people will be like, well, I don't like that. Well, do you not like it, or have you just never watched it and so you think you don't like it?
But if you have, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't diminish you if you like watching that. I don't care.
Like, look,
it makes you happy, man.
I am not like Johnny Soccer, but I enjoy going to the games. And now that, you know, I've kind of like watched like international tournaments, especially like I see just the difference in the skill level between, you know, international or the EPL and then, you know, MLS, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still soccer's not ever going to be number one for me, but I'm not going to knock it.
Nope.
Like, you know, and so.
All part of growing up, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like Brussels sprouts. You know, I kind of grew up my entire life thinking I hated Brussels sprouts, and it's because I never really tried them. And then when I tried them, I realized that I liked them.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't fancy as a Brussels sprouts guy.
They're my favorite. They're probably my favorite vegetable now.
Okay. Put them in the oven with some olive oil.
Yeah. They're like little cabbages. That's what they are.
Little cabbages.
Not bad. you're welcome. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is in celebrity birthdays. It's Chasing Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be there tomorrow. 1025, 106.3 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is from Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall. You can enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Also, Smashville Live coming up this week. Preds will be back in action Saturday, so you can check out Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. You can see Predator star players up close and personal and also get autographs and pictures. We'll have those players for you a little later in the week, Wednesday night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
Oh.
Presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. The only company you'll need for commercial construction services. Just visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have Champion Crab Racing Day. So
what?
Didn't know today's the day Champion Crab races. So, yeah. You have a pet crab, Joe?
His name is Pinchy.
Not since college.
Okay. next is My Way Day. So,
you know, is that Frank Sinatra Day?
Yeah. You can look at it. That Frank Sinatra.
Frankie said, I did it my way.
You know, Chase was mentioning baby cabbages. Today's National Cabbage Day.
I love cabbage. Is it really?
Yeah, it says National Cabbage.
So weird when that happens.
Let me tell you what I've been doing. So I get a head of cabbage and cut it into quarters. Brush it with a little butter.
There's no way you do this.
I do this.
Do you really?
Brush it with butter. Wrap a little bacon on it, put it in aluminum foil, and then put it on the grill on low temp for like 45 minutes. It is divine.
I'm in for that.
Proud of you, man.
Divine.
Next one we have here, hopefully my French is okay. National Cafe Au Latte Day. I don't know.
Au Latte?
AU.
You went to high school with him, didn't you?
I did. Al Latte's a good guy. He works at Mr. Transmission on Dickerson Pike.
Tell him I said hey.
Great guy.
Oh, next we have is National Indian Pudding Day.
What is that?
It. To be fair, Joe, it looks like applesauce it looks like an applesauce rice mixed with oatmeal.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe
it. All
right. Next one we have is National PTA Founders Day. Let's see. National Public Science Day. President's Day, obviously, is today. And let's see. Random Acts of Kindness Day.
Should be every day.
This one is Who Shall I Be Day. So, you know, you can
be yourself.
Yeah.
God only made one of you.
And then last to wrap it up, World Human Spirits Day.
Well done.
All right. It is President's Day. And by the way, my mother's listening, and she didn't like your joke.
About you cooking?
No, you're the one before that.
Oh, okay. All right. Moving on. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within two. Our first birthday is the great actress Renee Russo. How old is Renee Russo?
Oh, wow. Let's see, Renee Russo, I'm going to say 58.
55.
71.
Really?
Lou wow. Diamond Phillips, La Bamba.
73.
77.
63. Guys are terrible. Director Michael Bay.
54.
65.
61. He did Armageddon, too.
Did a lot of good movies.
Oh, Denise Richards, Charlie Sheen's ex-wife.
One of them.
Two words about her. Good loud.
50.
54.
54, exactly. job, Dr. Crane.
We have a visitor. Hi, Harrison.
Billy Joe Armstrong, the lead singer of Green Day.
53
exactly. Bam. We're tied at two. Digging it. Jerry O'Connell, the actor.
Yeah. 51.
Still tied at two. John Ritter's son, Jason Ritter, who looks just like him.
37.
40.
45. Paris Hilton.
38.
39.
45. Robin Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Isn't he going to be Robin eventually? Like in the Black Knight, he was at the end?
Yeah, something like that.
40.
45. 44. Dr. Green's up 3-2. A lot of good birthdays today. Ed Sheeran.
36.
37.
34. Tied at three. We'll roll through these real quick here. Actor Richard Karn from Home Improvement. Isn't he the guy that his buddy, Tool Time?
Yeah, that and also hosted Family Feud.
Yes.
64.
63.
69. Larry the Cable Guy.
56.
62.
62, exactly. Dr. Crane's up 5-3. Let's go some sports. Rowdy Gaines, the swimmer.
44.
48.
66. Guy McIntyre, guard for the 49ers, won a bunch of Super Bowls. Great player.
70.
77.
64. Our friend Buster Olney.
62.
64.
61. 5-4, Dr. Crane. Luke Robitaille.
60.
57.
59. So that's Chaser.
Yep.
5-5. David Klingler, former Houston Cougar quarterback that started the run and shoot there. Or cake took over for Andre Ware.
58.
62.
56. Chase up 6-5. I think Klingler was drafted by the Bengals. All right, our last birthday. How old is the great one? Michael Jordan. This is for the Chase. You get this, you win. Dr. Crane, you get it, you win. I love this. Michael Jordan.
63.
60.
61.
Oh, wow. Good job, Dr. Crane.
Thank you.
You win, right?
I think that's correct. That's how math works.
but I got six. I got 6-6.
I thought it was just 5-5.
I got Chase with six. Chase hit that
nail
on the
head. It was 6-5.
6-5. So it's 6-6. One more for a tiebreaker. Country singer Brian White. Nashville name. Oh, he lives in Nashville. Brian White.
I'm going to say 57.
53.
51. Dr. Crane wins 7-6. Good job.
Nice. There you go. Presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards, JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
Hey, as always, to our guys out there, if you are struggling, going through anything, and it's kind of a rough road for you, on your cell phone, you could call or text 988. Please talk to somebody, someone, whatever you're going through, because you are tremendously loved. And if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. That's why we tell you how much we love you every single day, and we mean it. You need to reach out to us. We're always here for you. We're grateful for the men who've reached out for us. Remember, we love you. More importantly, more than anything else, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.